3, 2, 1, boom! Broadcasting live from the center of the universe, presenting the world's only business school without the BS, with optometrist and entrepreneur Dr. Robert Zellner and USSBA Entrepreneur of the Year, Clay Clark. Get ready to enter the Thrive Time Show on Talk Radio 1170.
Yes, sir. It's Ian Clay, broadcasting from the box in the 918. Hey, business school in the topic today. Check the syllabus, it's getting you paid. I'm making the business boom, it's what we do. You can do it then.
Thrive Nation, welcome back to the conversation. And we're answering questions from the Thrive Nation that have been emailed to us to info@thrivetimeshow.com. And this next question that we've been asked consistently from the Thrive Nation is, how has Dr. Z been able to build a culture of excellence for 20 years in a row? Because the thing that is amazing about the victories you've had in business isn't that you had one big year or one big month or one big quarter. Is it that you've been consistently winning? You've been consistently a category leader in the automotive auction, you know, niche since you've hopped into it. You've been consistently a category leader in optometry since you hopped into it. So the consistency is what I want to focus on. I want to get Marshall's take on it. I want to get Wes's take on it. But just looking at it from the outside, I'm 37. And since my wife was 19, she's now 37. So for that entire span of time, those 18, 19 years, you've consistently been the category leader. If you're in Tulsa and you have ever turned on your radio or you've ever talked to a human in Tulsa, when you hear the word optometrist, you will at least know of the name. It will at least come into your mind of Dr. Robert Zellner & Associates. So I want to ask you, because, man, there's got to have been some rough patches in your personal life or rough patches in the business life. How do you stay consistent day after day? I mean, some people struggle to string 2 days in a row of positivity, let alone 3 or 4 or 4 weeks. How do you do it, man?
To answer this question, I've got to go to one of my favorite places. And that's down to the farm. Here's the deal. In order to keep the consistency over multiple years, you have to be willing, ready, able to pull weeds.
Pull weeds. Ready, willing, and able. Ready, willing, and able to pull weeds.
If you've ever had a dandelion get in your yard, you know what a dandelion is?
It's a weed.
I know what it
it's
is.
It's actually a flower kind of, but you know, weeds are, we call anything we don't want
that
in our yard.
That was a setup.
Trick question.
We want anything we don't want in our yard, we call a weed, right?
Right.
Okay. So a dandelion, if you leave it alone, it'll bloom and then the little things will float around and then you'll have more dandelions.
Right.
And then if you don't get those, and then they'll bloom and then the seeds will float around and pretty soon you'll have dandelions everywhere.
So anything you don't want to grow in your lawn is a weed.
Correct.
Any employee that you it's festering in your office that you don't want is a weed.
Correct.
And any anti-anxiety medication they sell in Colorado is a weed.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, what I'm saying is this, is that the entrepreneurs that are aggressive and purposeful in pulling those weeds, and the weeds could be bad policies, bad employees, bad products, bad branding practices, bad
commercials that don't work.
Commercial that doesn't work.
A radio station that didn't work. Yeah, rep that doesn't work. Anything doesn't work. If it doesn't work, you get it out of there.
You quickly. And that's a problem. A lot of people, you know, think they can life coach someone and change them different.
Stay loyal to dysfunction. Because you're already in the group.
You know, I'm going to continue that. Commercial may not have worked on that station, but I'm going to pound it on this
song
one for a while.
This song sucks, but it's 8 minutes long, so we might as well keep listening to it.
Right.
Right.
Because we've committed to listen to the first 4 minutes of it.
It sucks, but let's go ahead and continue listening to the final.
We've already spent four. It's
we've
only
already
four
watched
more.
Half of Fargo. We might as well finish watching the terrible movie Fargo.
Correct.
Okay.
So I think that's what you do. You just have to be very, and that's kind of a general thing, and we can break that down into specifics, which we kind of done a little bit.
Marshall.
Like, for example, you're an employee that's bad. If you don't pull that weed, it infects the rest of the employees.
Why are you pulling me?
Why are you pulling
me? I just got late a couple times in a row every day.
I just
Marshall.
So so you've created a culture of excellence for 20 years. 20 years. You've gotten more to the top. That, but, yeah, more, okay. More than that.
Don't irritate him. Yeah, come on. He's been working hard. Why would you? You just got up years.
26 plus. But 26 I wouldn't call you a liar plus. For 6 years.
Okay. All right.
Liar. I might correct you.
You might correct me.
Hateful.
On public radio.
Hateful. So,
I'm pulling Marshall. So. That's a weed. He's getting pulled.
And so I want to ask you this question. Is it harder to get to the top? Or is it harder to stay at the top? It's harder to get to the top.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree.
And here's the reasons why, because you've got so much more to overcome.
I agree.
You don't have name recognition.
I agree.
You don't have, you know, critical mass.
Super agree.
I mean, you don't have all the swag you have once you get to the top.
I call it suits. I call it suits versus hoodies.
Hey, here's the deal. I'm going to ask you a question. If you were storming a castle.
Storming the castle. Here we go. Let's storm the castle.
Would you rather be up on the wall of the castle firing down at somebody?
At the top of the wall.
Or would you rather be trying to sling a ladder up to the wall and crawling up it?
I'd like to sling up a ladder and climb my way up to the top so I can say I'm the only one who's...
Pouring the tar down the castle?
Yeah. Would you rather be the one getting the tar poured on you or the dude pouring the tar?
To me, it sounds exciting to climb up a ladder and see if I can go through a fiery furnace to get up to the top.
So, we didn't get dressed up for nothing.
So here's what I've seen, okay?
Okay.
Is A players only like to work with A players.
Oh, true.
And if you have one... or two B players in your organization, then they are only going to hire people that are less diligent and less productive,
true,
less effective at their job than them in order to make themselves appear greater. And so getting to that entire office culture where everybody is an A player is crazy hard. But once you do it, it's self-policing. And so Wes Carter's on the show. And I wanted to ask him because he has an entire office of A players. And do you see this across industries?
A lot of clients. And I think a lot of what it is ego, that some A players feel personally jeopardized by other A players coming in. And you have to get over that you want to surround yourself with other excellent people and not be intimidated because that you're afraid they're going to outshine you.
One thing that Wes does that is bizarre when I first heard it, but I agree. He actually prunes his client list.
Yes.
He actually pulls weeds from his client list. Wes, can you explain your theories on pruning your client tree? Because it seems crazy.
I have a theory. One out of every 10 clients I should fire. That's about the rate I've found.
Why doesn't Wes talk to me anymore?
That just blew somebody's mind.
That about 1 out of 10 people are going to be a bigger pain in my neck than it's worth, even if they pay, not even counting the people that I'm going to do work for and never get paid. So I think, you know, it probably varies from industry, but about 1 every 10 clients, I'm better off saying no and letting them go down the road.
But it's hard to get up to the top of success where you can have those kind of decisions. We don't have that feeling, but to be able to make the decision. So when we come back, I want to talk about what is the hardest part of getting to the top of Mount Awesome?
I want to talk about pouring hot tar on your competitors. That's what I want to talk about.
I want to talk about scalding your competition and what's the hardest part about getting to the top of the wall of success. So we're going to get to the top of the wall of success and then scald our competitors.
I want to talk about the early days when I got that ladder and how I scrolled up that ladder and got to the top. That's the fun stuff.
I want to talk about that medieval device where you
a trebuchet?
And you stretch out the competitor till their arms rip off?
What's that called? The rack. I want to teach them how to build a trebuchet that could guaranteed bring down the wall.
And I want to talk about vassals and fiefs and any other medieval terms that I know.
Jousting. Can we do a segment on jousting?
I want to talk about will jousting be allowed next year as a professional sport? Stay tuned to the Thrive Time Show on your radio.
Get ready to enter the Thrive Time Show. 3, 2, 1. Boom!
All right, Thrive Nation, welcome back to The Conversation. It is the Thrive Time Show on the radio. And during this segment, it's action-packed. It'll be their final segment of this hour of power. And we have three topics we're going to get into here real fast here, okay? So topic number one I want to talk about is how hard, or what was the hardest part about getting to the castle of success, okay? Because once you get to a castle has a wall around it to keep out the bad guys. And I believe it's much easier to stay on top than to get there. Z had said that he agrees on that too. So we're going to ask the question, go around the horn here. What's the most difficult part of getting to success? The second is your tips for scalding your competition who's trying to climb up your castle walls. How do you keep them out? Do you like to use the fiery arrows, the molten tar? What's your preferred method? And third, will jousting become a professional sport? If we have time to get into that, we'll get into it. So, Z, I'm going to start with you. What was the hardest part for you about getting to the castle of success, figuratively speaking?
Well, every business that I have started, there's always that little kind of hook. You know, there's always that little, you have to make an offer. You have to make when you're marketing, because that's all about marketing, right?
Right.
But then you have to produce. You have to come through it. You have to, your business is only as strong as its weakest link. And so, if you have an idiot answering the phone, then you're not going to get anybody to come in the door.
Hey, thanks for calling. Dr. Robert Zone. Where's my beer?
Yeah, exactly. So the thing about it is that you have to have all the parts and pieces right. But I really think one of the core things is making that offer that people can't refuse to come in the door.
Oh, you're right.
Get them in the door. Get the phones to ring. Get them to click on you if you're doing an online.
Fill out that form.
Online form, whatever it is. And so you have to make that offer they can't refuse.
So hot.
So
the no-brainer.
When I started off, my no-brainer was a pair of glasses, a pair of contact lenses, or it was actually a pair of clear contacts, a pair of colored contacts, and the eye exam for $99.
So two pairs of contacts and an eye exam for just $99.
Color. Right. That was my original kind of deal.
That's a hot deal.
Hot sauce. Coming
I want it right
you.
Now.
Boom. Right
I can't
now.
Stop myself.
Okay. What color do you want?
I
got you. I
blue.
Got you. Yeah. Okay.
Then clear because I'm kind of a bluish green.
Well, then you get one of each. So.
Okay.
And you can wear blue and one eye clear
and
the
exam.
Other. And purple since you're from up north.
Oh, Purple Rain. Prince. Yeah. Love it. Okay.
That's
back
kind of
to
our
you.
Theme of our show.
Back to you in the booth.
So what happens is that you have to find how you can differentiate yourself when you're on the bottom and you're trying to get yourself up. You can't be just another me too. You have to have a purple cow.
So two purple cows, two no-brainer offers. An example: Barbie cookies. The first cookie that she had, the offer she had to do to become successful was the first cookie you have is free. About one out of three people would take advantage of her and the offer and not come back. Two out of three would come back. Elephant in the room: our first haircut is $1. That's a no-brainer offer. You want to build a lifetime relationship. Then the no-brainer is critical. I want to ask you, Wes, what was the toughest part for you getting to where you're at right now as a partner with one of the most prestigious firms in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Delayed gratification.
Oh, now you're talking. Oh, yeah. God. Now you're speaking. Oh,
as a business
preach
owner.
Preach it. Preach it.
Going to get a doctorate, or even just starting a business. Delaying what you want to pull out for yourself to pour back into the business, giving up your personal time freedom to pour back into the business, giving up maybe delaying family or family goals to pour back into the business. There's just so much delayed gratification that goes into taking a long-term
so
view.
So much of it.
Yeah.
Like 10 years of it sometimes.
Yeah, and just knowing that you're building towards a goal. And if you work hard enough, you're going to get there. You don't need it right now.
I have a question for Marshall about this because the best example I can give you is the Start Here book. Many of you are starting to download the book in droves, and it's hilarious. But the other day, this is probably, I'd say, two conferences ago. So I guess this would be about two, three months ago. Someone came in, and they said, I'd like to have Marshall Morris as my coach. And I said, really? You would? And they go, yeah, I've read his book, Start Here.
Wow.
And that client I watched online, that research company, whatever, they love that guy. And so I want to have him. Now, I know when I had to tell people, hey, you should use Marshall Morris as your coach. And they're like, how come I can't have you, Clay? And I had to sort of build up his profile. And now what I'm trying to do to keep Marshall humble is I basically talk bad about him on the radio.
You
all
talk
the time.
Down to me. You talk down to
me. Yeah, I'll say something like, Marshall, I know this is above your pay grade, but no. But seriously, it's a thing where people are starting to ask for you, but you've been sowing those seeds for probably, we've known each other, we've worked together, we've known each other for a 9-year relationship.
Yeah.
And in the last 2 years, you've really started to turn on the juice as a coach. Can you talk to me about delaying the gratification as you were writing the Start Here book? How long did it take? How did you do it? Did you ever feel like giving up?
Well, we wrote the book in it took about 10 years for all of the stories and principles, okay, of knowledge to get in.
All the stories
there.
In there took place over about a 10-year window of time.
Then the actual pen to paper, we wrote it in about 2 months, which actually, to a lot of authors, what I hear is pretty you know, pretty fast. But for us, it felt crazy long
because we were doing like 40 hours a week.
We were pulling two all-nighters a week in order to get it done.
Right.
And so what that required is a ton of trade-offs and a ton of sacrifice. And while some people were going out or while some people are actually sleeping, we were writing the Start Here book.
And when people come up to you and say, hey, are you the guy who wrote the book? Or that guy the other day asked you to sign the book at the
office? That's right. That's right.
How did that feel?
That felt awesome. Because it is a business owner that, number one, is humble enough to know that he doesn't know everything, and he is willing to accept the knowledge to be taught in order to improve his business and get to his goals. That is a cool feeling. But you don't get that overnight. You don't get that because you had an idea. But because of the hours that you've invested in order to write the book or build the business or get to your big goals, that's really cool.
And the longer it takes, the sweeter it tastes.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So, Z, I want to ask you this take here. Hot take. What's your favorite way to scald your competition, figuratively speaking, to keep your competition from climbing your castle walls? What's one of your favorite moves?
My favorite moves is to mystery shop them and then just to have like a billboard when people walk in your office that breaks down the... You know the...
One sheet, the comparison?
Yes, exactly. But I'm trying to think, is it...
Southwest?
Progressive, or who does it?
Southwest does a comparison, Transparency. They go us versus them.
Yeah, boom. And then there's an insurance company that does the same thing. It's kind of like, you call us, we'll give you the quotes. And
maybe Geico or
too. Yeah. And anyway, what happens, so you walk in, there's an easel, and it has the one sheet board up there, and it shows the apples-to-apples comparison of what it costs from my competitors. I love doing that stuff. That's just so fun.
Can I tell you something I love doing?
It's like pouring hot oil on a guy climbing.
This is mine. I want to get Wes's take on this. This is what I like to do. I like to make... I learned this from the Sam Walton book called Made in America. Sam Walton used to... He started off as the underdog. He opened up a five and dime.
After how many bankruptcies?
He did not do very well. Sam Walton struggled. And so what happened is he opens up his first Walmart and he goes into these small remote communities where no one else wanted to be, and he services that community. Well, eventually he took up a lot of those communities. So now he has to go head to head. Because remember, Kmart was the incumbent. So now he's going into cities where Kmart's there.
Oh, yeah.
So his thought was, I'm going to open up right across the street from at Kmart, and I'm going to operate at a loss every single day until they can't hang on. And then when they finally run out of air, oxygen, ammo, whatever it is, I'm going to keep doing my no-brainer to stomp on their neck. And then when they grasp for air and ask for help, I'm going to keep doing it. And then when they're dead, that's when I'll raise my prices up to their everyday reasonable prices. So I love the idea of just undercutting prices and staying low and seeing how low you can go and just staying there. I love knowing that I can go lower than anybody else and just stay there for years. Because then once you come up, you win. You knock their legs out from under them. It's phenomenal.
Well, and I would be remiss to say that there's a certain part of that. I know Sam, I've read his book, and I know he's competitively priced. And I know they have some false leaders. But you can't, as a side note, business side note here, as a business coach, some of that you have to be careful with as far as your purpose of why you're selling some your products for what you're selling them for. In other words, if you're operating at a loss to run somebody out of business, that could be
a bad deal.
Potential lawsuit. Right, Wes?
Yeah, I mean, on a small scale, you're probably okay, but you can easily run into monopoly laws and things like that, price fixing, where, especially if you join with others to do it. So you say,
especially then.
Me and you, we're going to get this third guy out of town. That's when you can really run
into
trouble.
Since you are the monopolist of all things law in Tulsa, yes. Tulsa's number one attorney, in my humble opinion. Wes, what is your favorite move to beat your competition?
What I like to do, I have clients all over the country, so you may have to apply this to your local business, but I will meet new clients, potential clients, and tell them, I would like to fly out to meet you. And they say, well, I can't afford that. I said, no, I'm going to pick up the dime. I'm going to fly out on my dime to meet you. I'm not going to bill you for my time. Let's just sit down and meet each other and make sure we like each other. And usually they are blown away. The one, that an attorney is going to spend time with them and not bill them, and two, that I'm going to pick up my own travel expenses. So whatever that is, even if you're local, going out of your way to develop those relationships builds up that goodwill.
Now, one way that we've gone out of our way to build up the relationship with you, Thrive Nation, is we have four ways to serve you, but many of which are free. We have the podcasts. Those are free. We have the in-person workshops. If you leave us an objective review on iTunes and subscribe and email us proof that you did it to by emailing us to info@thrivetimeshow.com, we give you free tickets. Then we have the world's best online business school. It's just $19 a month. And we have one-on-one business coaching with scholarship programs to help anybody looking for a hand up and not a hand out. And as always, we like to end this show with a boom. So here we go. 3, 2, 1, boom! Boom, 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 boom. This moment is profound because you're above the ground. Your road might have been rough, but what you got now is now. We're here to pick you up and to even show you.